I'll come when my pastor preaches. So I want to thank you all for being here. Just a real brief snapshot of me. I grew up in a church very much like this. If you change the colors and stuff just a little bit, but the stained glass windows and everything, it's the first place I ever felt the presence of God was in a Methodist church very much like this building. And this is the first Sunday I've ever got to preach. So this is really cool for me. Just the setting and all that, it's really cool for me. Today we're going to talk about surrender. I kind of think that I might be talking or preaching to the choir, because what I've seen and what I sensed, you seem to be a very committed, surrendered bunch. But I'll press on, because I feel this is what the Holy Spirit asked me to bring. Earlier this week, or late last, I called Al, he's a trip leader, and I said, I can go with my message that I've used before, and the students have heard it, but there's one cooking on surrender. And he called Pastor Mike, and Pastor Mike's like, let's go with the surrender. So here we go. I've been in the process of surrendering myself more and more the last few years. I was kind of the normal guy. I worked in the oil and gas business, hard hat, work boots, four-wheel drive truck. And I just kind of thought I was bigger and better than anybody else. I was worried about my job title and how many zeros were on my paycheck. And I brought that attitude home, and that didn't go well either. So the Holy Spirit started making little request in my life about my attitude, what I thought on, my outlook on things, what I said, what I did. And God always ratchets it up. He always takes you up another notch. He's always trying to get more from you, and that's a good thing. So it ended up that my wife and I sold or gave away most of our stuff, moved 300 miles to Mechanicsburg to attend Global School Supernatural Ministry. To top it all off, the Lord said, use your retirement money to fund all this. And for me, that was that's a huge surrender. When you're in your late 40s, you start thinking about those things. You start thinking about security. But what I've done has been really good for me and my family. So if I had to title this message, it would be Surrender, Your Winning Move. We're going to talk a little bit about what is surrender, why surrender, who we surrender to, and then reasons we don't surrender, and then we'll have some ministry time. So there's only 5 points. You're supposed to have 3. We'll probably be here for 3 hours, but it'll be all right. The definition to surrender is to capitulate, to give in, to yield, to defer, to back down, to crumble. To crumble. These words sound negative in our worldly ears, because in society it's always about don't give in, fight, you have rights, keep going, don't just win, step on the guy in front of you if you need to win. But things are a little different in the kingdom of God. A lot of things in the natural are exactly opposite in the kingdom of God. Surrender is really when you decide to let God run your life. And there's such freedom and peace that comes to that. And I've experienced that in the last several years when I quit trying to be the boss and became obedient to the Holy Spirit. I think a lot of people, and I know I did this, when I got saved, I liked the Savior part, but I really forgot about the Lordship part. And Lordship is kind of you do what the Master says. And in our society, we don't like that, but that is part of it. But see, with Jesus, he's kind and loving. He's not a pounding his fist on the desk kind of dictator, going to make you do what he wants you to do. He's going to let you choose to follow the commitments you made. If you want to go off and do something, he might pull on you, but if you really want to go, he'll let you go. Christianity's kind of a volunteer army. He really wants you there because you want to be there, not because you're forcing yourself to be there. Surrender is about being led by the Spirit. Something I got earlier during worship, there was a lot of songs today about being filled. I think the lid over our lives, why we don't get filled, is surrender. We have to let Jesus in. We have to allow him to do what he wants to do in our lives, to allow that transformation to happen. Surrender is really a winning move in the kingdom of God. You know, a lot of the younger people, they use computers, but you can see I'm not younger. I kind of stay with the paper. So why do we need to surrender? I kind of touched on this a little bit. One is because the Lord asked us to. Other reasons that we surrender is we want that transformation process in our lives. As Christians, we're called to begin to reflect the image of Jesus Christ, to be transformed into his likeness in our minds, in our thoughts, in our actions, in our heart. That's one thing I want you to know. It's really about a heart thing. You can physically make yourself do almost anything, but is it in your heart? Are you willingly wanting to surrender to the Lord? But I want to tie that to something. In Matthew 7:21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the realm of heaven. It is those who persist in doing the will of my Father." So you can force yourself to be obedient, to look like a Christian, but not everybody that says, "Lord, Lord," is going to get in the kingdom of heaven. It's going to be those that have the heart that persist in doing God's will. The other reason is, in Matthew 6:24, it says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.'" You see here, like I've said earlier, it's whoever wants. So you have a choice. There's a choice in this. I think sometimes when we do salvation prayers and we pray for forgiveness, it's done like you just say that, and there's not a lot of understanding behind it. Because taking up your cross, what's the goal of the cross? What happened to Jesus when he encountered the cross? It was death. You're all in. You're all in. This isn't like part-time stuff. If you really want to be a disciple, if you really want to undergo the transformation deeply in your lives, if you really want to reflect Jesus, if you want to see healings and deliverance, if you want to not just do it for yourself, but for others, for your community, you're going to have to die to yourself. I have this analogy. If we're water, let's just say we're water, and our ways are like water, and then there's oil, the Holy Spirit, God's ways. If you put them into a jar and shake them together, what do you get? It's really a mess. It's really not much good for anything. And that's why it's important that that we undergo the cross, that we die, we are totally committed to it. Fortunately for us, death is kind of just death to ourselves. It's not really physical like Jesus went through. He did the physical part. Now it's up to us to make the heart and the mind decision part. What are some of the things you might have to give up? You know, like people think about, well, I have to give up money or house or cars. No, not necessarily. How about giving up being mad at somebody? Having unforgiveness in your heart that you've held for years. Maybe God's asking you to surrender that today. Maybe it's anger. You've been mad at somebody. Maybe God's asking you to surrender that today. As I'm saying this, and you're starting to remember some things, that's the Holy Spirit saying, today's the day maybe I'd like to deal with that. I know in my life, I was going to church, and I was serving in church, and I was on leadership roles, but I had this one little thing. I thought God would be okay with me holding on to that one little thing. I'm like, in my mind, I'm 99% okay. What's this one little thing? But what that was is the one little bit of drop of water in the jar that was really messing everything up and made me not completely useful. And I don't want this to sound like it's about just ministry and doing things. It's not about that. It's about being pure before the Lord, turned over, surrendered, allowing God to work in your life. See, surrender is not just about us. It is supposed to be a 24/7, 365 thing. In Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. But now the life I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's a couple things here. One is God gave everything. Maybe we should too. We're to give ourselves as a living sacrifice. Don't we want Jesus to manifest in our lives? Don't we want him to work through us? Surrender will help all that happen. Surrendering is like being a witness. Also, if I'm surrendered to the Lord, if I'm obedient to him, if I'm walking in forgiveness and repentance and allowing God to transform my life, my children see that. My grandchildren see that. People on the job see that. Isn't that partly being a disciple, is being a witness, showing people? Maybe it'd be easier to surrender if we knew who we were surrendering to. If you were in a war and you had to lay down your arms, you had to surrender, what would be some of the things you'd worry about? What's going to happen to me? What are they going to do to me? Are they going to hurt me? Am I going to survive all this? When we surrender to Jesus, we're surrendering to the most kind, loving, patient person there is. So what are some of the things about God's character? In John 1, 1 John 1, 4 through 8, it says God is love. So what I did is I took that verse and I blended it with 1 Corinthians 13. So I kind of messed with the scriptures. I'm telling you that I messed with them. All right? So God is love. That means God is patient. God is kind. God does not dishonor others. He's not easily angered. He keeps no record of wrongs. He does does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. He always protects. He always trusts. He always hopes. He always perseveres. Once you want to, if you had to surrender and give up your life, once you want to do it to a person like that, that always trusts you, always hopes the best for you, always perseveres, always is going to be there, is never going to leave you or forsake you. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, but to give you a hope and a future." God's got your best interest at heart. He wants what's best for you. Psalm 139, every single moment you are thinking me. This is the psalmist writing this. So every single moment, God is thinking of you, every one of you. He's thinking about how precious and wonderful you are, how much he cherishes you in every thought. Everything he thinks about you, he cherishes you. He loves you. His desires towards you are more than the grains of the sand on every shore. Think about that. God is like just a billion thoughts every day towards you about how good you are, how much he loves you, how much he wants what's best for you. So why would you not want to surrender to this person? And I'm not just talking about salvation. This is really not a salvation message. This is a message about what's in our hearts and what are we holding on to. Jesus talked to the rich young ruler. Do you all know that story? And there was one thing that guy wouldn't give up to follow Jesus. What the Holy Spirit's after today is that one thing that you're holding on to that keeps you that much closer to Jesus. So why don't Christians fully surrender? I'm sure there's many hindrances or stumbling blocks, roadblocks, whatever you want to call them. I'm only going to cover a few. One is trust. Maybe you just don't really trust God. And this is understandable if you've had people that have violated the trust that you gave them. If you had bad parents, teachers, whatever, they hurt you, or worse, they broke your heart, or maybe they stole something, your innocence from you that should have never happened. That's tough. That's really tough. But what God wants to do is get that all out in the light and heal that. And if you surrender that thing to him, that event, whatever, to him, you can get healed from that and move on. If that's keeping you away from a closer relationship in Jesus, if that's keeping you from surrender, you really have a tough choice to make. You're going to have to consciously say, "Lord, I'm going to give you that. I'm going to give you that hurt." Maybe there's some that you just trust your abilities. You're kind of like, "God's good. I go to church. But this Jerry's getting a little deep. I can take care of myself." I understand that because that was me. But that's kind of a form of pride. And what I found is usually those people have a police and fire relationship with the Lord. When you get in a jam, you call 911, "Dear Lord, I lost my job. I'm going to lose my house. Help me." Do you really want to be that kind of Christian where you have a 911 relationship with the Lord? Maybe the bills are paid and everything's going good, and God just kind of slipped out of the forefront of your mind. He's just not a focus in your life. That's kind of a form of pride. In James, it talks about pride. It says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Then a little later it goes on and says, "Humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up." I guess what I'm asking, do you really want to go at your own deep down? Is that what you really want to do? Then there's the what happened. What will happen? What will happen if I truly surrender to God? Will I end up in Africa? Maybe. And it'll be great and it'll be exciting. It'll be awesome. See, the thing is, as you surrender a little bit, it's like a snowball down the hill. You've heard that expression? It just builds. It gets easier and easier and easier to surrender your life to the Lord. It's what you'll want to do. It'll become easier. There was a young teenage girl who had an angel come visit her. And he said, don't be afraid. Now, when an angel shows up and says, don't be afraid, hold on to something, something's coming. Something big's coming. The long and short of it, it's Mary. And the angel says, you're basically going to give birth to the Messiah. I'm sure she had a lot of questions. And some of them are right in the scripture. How's this going to happen? Why me? What's Joseph going to think? What's my family going to think? In that day, a teenage girl that wasn't married that was sticking out to hear, that caused some problems in the village. But you know what she did? She said, let it be done according to your word. See, the one thing about surrendering, it takes faith because you don't always know what's going to happen. You don't know the directions God's going to take you. We have a saying back at Global, I think it comes from Tom Jones, that faith is spelled R-I-S-K. There's going to be risk when you give up to God, give up more to God. But you get to make the choice. He's not forcing you. You might know the reason right now why you're holding on to that one little thing, the one little sin, the one little attitude, the one little habit. Maybe he's been asking you to start doing outreaches or being friendly with your neighbor and you just don't want to do it and he keeps asking you. Maybe today's the day you just say, God, I'm going to start to do that. But it's your choice. It's your choice. Here's some of the benefits I found in my own life. So these are kind of benefits according to Jerry. I can't put Bible verses on all of them. When you surrender, you'll hear better from God. And I thought about that this morning. Why talk to somebody if they're not going to listen to you? I don't know if God's that harsh, but if I'm talking to somebody and they're sleeping or don't want to hear what I have to say, I'm going to go somewhere else. There'll be more peace in your life. There's part of it when God is trying to get you to do something or go through transformation, there comes an uneasiness. He's pulling on your heartstrings, and it causes turmoil in your life. Transformation will begin or speed up. When I started being obedient and listen to what the Lord wanted for my life, transformation really sped up in my life. We have been in Pennsylvania, and we don't go home very often, maybe every 9 months. And I've never really had a good relationship with my brother-in-law. It's been fine. He's a pastor, but I'm not his kind of guy. He invited us to go up and speak at his church. He was astounded at the transformation in my life and my wife's life because we've yielded. We've yielded. We've made choices for the Lord. Life will be exciting. God will challenge you, but that's okay. That's fun. Activity of the gifts of the Spirit will increase. I think that comes from the same thing as why give them an anointing if they're not going to do anything with it? But if you start yielding and stepping out and praying for people, whatever that looks like, wherever you minister, the more you do it, the more God will invest in you. So surrendering and allowing God to do that will increase that. The best reason to surrender, it'll deepen your relationship with the Lord. I want to step back just a little bit. And most of what I've talked about has kind of been action mode, like ministry, you know, transformation, kind of like outward stuff. But in Oswald Chambers from March 12th, and what's cool about Oswald Chambers, people know my utmost first highest? It's a great devotional. March 12th. I'm going to read this. I copied this right out of the devotional. Our motive for surrender should not be any personal gain at all. We have become so self-centered that we go to God for only something from him and not for him himself. It's like saying, Lord, I don't want you. I want myself. But I want to do what I want you to do what I want you to do. I want you to fill me with the Holy Spirit, clean me up, and put me on display in your showcase so I can say, look what the Lord has done for me. Gaining heaven, being delivered from sin, and being useful to God are things that should never, ever be considered in real surrender. Genuine surrender is a personal sovereign preference for Jesus Christ himself. So what it's saying is the reason you surrender is because you just want Jesus. It's just Jesus. It's not what he can do for you or what you can do for him. It's just for Jesus. Just to be with him. Just to be with him. Just to be his friend. So if you're not totally surrendered to God, or you have some area in your life that you're just kind of holding back on, would you deal with it today? Are you surrendered when there's nobody home at your house? When you're all alone, are you completely surrendered to God? And I think you know where I'm going with that. There's things we'll say and do in church, and then there's things we'll do and say when we're alone. That shows whether you're completely surrendered or not. It's not about the show, it's about the heart attitude. So, as I close, if you want some people to pray with you over this, you can come on up. And I think what we'll do is, if you want to just be left alone and do business with God, you can do it on this side. If you want people to pray with you, the team will be over on this side. Prayer, I want to say one last thing. Prayer is not a job interview with Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to put your best foot forward. In my life, the most healing times I've had, the times where deliverance have come, where restoration has happened, when I've completely undone myself before the Lord and said what I thought, whether I was angry at him or others, I didn't try to put on a front. I completely unzipped myself and I was honest. If you want to do that, by yourself, come over here. If you'd like some people to pray with you, we'll be on this side. And as always, if somebody has a physical need, maybe you're here and you're like, what's this guy talking about, surrender? What's all this stuff? And it's just not ringing. And you know your relationship with the Lord isn't existent or not good at all. We'd love to pray for you because that's what it's all about, is just being with Jesus, having a relationship with Jesus. It's not what you do for him. It's just, it all starts with being his friend. So I want to thank you all. I know my voice is not pleasant. So I thank you all. God bless you. You got an awesome church here. Awesome.
The team, if you could come on up, those of you who are available. James, you can stay back there if you want, but, you know, whatever. So if you feel so led, come on up. If you want to talk to somebody, want some prayer, we're up here. So feel free. We'll be here for a little while.
Would you all just stand?